Lord, as we spend some time thinking about this passage and also that from Acts 2, help us in our understanding and as we grow in our understanding to see what that means for us as we continue to serve you. In the name of Jesus, amen. So as I said at the start, just a shorter reflection on this passage for today. And as we do that, just to look at where we've been. So we've looked at a learning church from Acts chapter 2, 41 to 47. Last week we looked at a caring church, how they shared in fellowship together, and this word koinonia. And today we look at a worshipping church, that the early church was a worshipping church. And then next week we look at an evangelizing church, and we'll actually spend a couple of weeks on that fourth point there. Some of us will be familiar with the Westminster Catechism, and I dare say that some of you may have even learnt some of that in years gone by. But the very first question in the shorter version of the Westminster Catechism is this question. And I'm quoting from the original, so apologies for the non-inclusive language here. What is the chief end of man? This is the first question. The answer, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So according to this, our primary goal as followers of God, our fundamental purpose of being is to glorify God. Today, tomorrow, and in that life which is to come, and hence those verses from Revelation chapter 5. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honour and glory and might for ever and ever. This is our chief end, to do this, to glorify God. And this is, and it was, one of the foundational characteristics of this early Christian church of Jesus, that they were a worshipping church. The whole of our life is worship. Serving God with all we have, with all of our being, with our heart, mind and soul. And there's a great definition of this in Psalm 105 verse 3. To worship God is to glory in God's holy name. To glory in God's holy name. And once we glimpse the holiness of God's name, we see that our response is to glory in it, to worship this holy God. And again, we have that echoed in those words from Revelation 5. That a response to God's holiness and how God has chosen to be revealed is to worship. That worship is a response to God's revelation to us, to God's word revealed to us. So the early churches, their worship was a number of things. Their worship was both formal and informal. It included, so it was formal in the sense, and I think I've got that. So what's the next slide there, Wendy? Yeah. So it was both formal. So we actually read that they went to the temple. Let me just get my verses there. That they continued to meet in the temple, but they also met in homes where they shared in fellowship and they broke the bread. Their worship in the temple, that changed over time. Discovered that they started to get thrown out of the temple, and also as they as their Christian community began to expand amongst the Gentiles, they worked through all these things. So, but there was a formality to it and also an informality that was included, that included their own distinct Christian worship. That the way that they met together, they shared in a fellowship meal, in what must surely be a reference to the Lord's Supper, to Holy Communion, these fellowship meals. And at the end of verse 46, we have that this sense of joy, that worship for them was a joyful thing. The word at the end of verse 46 means exuberant expression of joy. And they had all reasons in the world to be joyful. God had sent his Son into the world, this Jesus, to die and rise again for them. And the Holy Spirit had now been sent into their hearts. And Galatians 5 says, fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace. So they had much to be joyful about. And if joy should characterize our worship, so should reverence. They had a reverence as well. It is both joyful and reverent. It's both together. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe. Everyone was filled with awe at what was happening around them and their sense of God, that God was amongst them and had filled them with wonder and awe. And they bowed down to this God accordingly. And again, we have that sense in those verses from Psalm 5. There's lots to say that we could say about worship. And again, I particularly want to focus on these verses from Acts chapter 2. And I just want to finish this morning with a couple of brief notes, a couple of brief points. The scriptures, when you talk about worship, the scriptures talk about that there's a correlation between worship and the state of our hearts. Or in other words, there is at least a determination to be consistent between what we espouse in worship and how we live. So in Mark chapter 7, verse 6, Jesus says of the Pharisees, and this reflects some words that were said of the prophets, that, for example, Isaiah said this, and Jesus reflects this as he says of the Pharisees, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Let that not be the case for the early church and indeed for us. There's this consistency and continuity between worship and how we live. So the early church worshipped. They worshipped formally and informally with joy and with awe. And we get to share in all of that as this morning we come to the Lord's table that Apachart will lead us in a short while. As the early church, they gathered, they broke bread together, and this motley, diverse bunch of Christians were united around the Lord's table. And folks, so are we. Let's pray. Lord our God, we give you thanks, and we simply come before you and affirm your glory. And we praise you for who you are and the glimpses of that we get. And Lord, as we gather at your table this morning shortly, again, may we recognize something of your glory as we give thanks and recognize Christ's presence amongst us, in whose name we pray. Amen.